We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, Lo, it's a great question. I think you look at the overall position player group that the Giants have been using of late, and so many of the players are relatively, at least the ones that have been emerging and playing well, are early in their service time clock.
Sure.
And certainly the outfielders at a position, you think about the outfield's been a spot where the Giants have been looking for consistency for years. And so from that standpoint, I'd be really surprised if they moved a Dickerson or a Yastrzemski. It's interesting to think about them as being, quote-unquote, untouchable, but the fact is that they've played well enough, and if the Giants are making moves, they're probably, or at least that the assumption has been, they're going to look to get back some young outfielders to help build their future group. So I think they stand pat with the outfield. Brandon Belt, perhaps you think about the market overall for first baseman, although not that many teams right now seem to be in the market and needing a first baseman. The one possibility I'd mentioned for Belt could be Houston, because Houston, of course, they've had a very right-handed dominant lineup. They've had some issues of getting consistent production over at first base. So for those reasons, maybe Brandon Belt is a good fit to go back, of course, to his home state of Texas. The fun story there in general with him having played his college baseball at UT as well, it would be kind of a fun story. So I think that might be the one spot and the one player that I could see moving. But in general, guys, not that many teams need a first baseman. And the outfield now, now that you're seeing some consistency from the Giants outfield offensively for the first time in what seems like years, I think they've got to keep that group together and see if they can maybe grow in the years to come.
MLB Insider, Fox Sports, MLB Network, John Morosi with Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Which player ultimately yields the greater return, Bumgarner or Will Smith? I know that might sound crazy to some, but given the way playoff baseball takes shape in October, guys like Will Smith, their value skyrockets at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's an excellent question, and I think it's a tough one, too, because to your point, Smith is now very much in demand. Bumgarner, I would give the slight edge to Bumgarner, if only because you think about, first of all, the playoff pedigree for him is exceptional, and also you think about the number of innings he'll be able to throw over the last 2 months of the season. For Will Smith, you think about the number of saves he may be able to register. Even if he's an especially busy guy, maybe he gets into between 15 and 20 games over the last 2 months of the season, and that's still a pretty limited number of innings, whereby Madison might be able to throw 30 innings in a couple weeks or several weeks when you think about how deep you can go in the game. So I think for me, it's still going to be Bumgarner just based on the overall workload that he's going to be able to deliver and the playoff pedigree. But Smith, to your point, there probably will be more teams interested in Will Smith, but Bumgarner, for the teams that really need him, and I've made this point before, but I think it's really important for listeners to be aware of it. I think that the National League in general is where Bumgarner's best market is going to be because of the lefties, especially with the Dodgers, but even the Braves as well. If I know that I'm going to have to encounter the Dodgers or the Braves or handle them early on in the playoffs, or even if you're in the National League East potentially, if you're the Phillies, for example, you want to get as much lefty pitching as possible. And so I think from that standpoint, Bumgarner has exceptional value there. The one storyline I'd mention that sort of dovetails with Bumgarner a little bit is the increasing likelihood that Mike Minor is going to get traded by the Texas Rangers. Minor has been, in many ways, one of the best three or four pitchers in the American League, and really maybe even one of the best pitchers in all of baseball this year, and he has control for next year. So clubs like Milwaukee and Philadelphia that have just been okay this season, they may in fact prefer Minor simply because they would be able to hedge their bets a little bit and have control of them for next year too.
Jeff Passan had a report that the Giants were trying to jump ahead of the market by shopping Bumgarner a month ago. Do you think that the pressure and the reward and the return from deals will increase as we get closer to the deadline, or by being first, might you get the best haul that way?
Yeah, it's a key point there on the overall timing of the market. I think for the Giants, and the fact that they were out there looking and gauging interest in Bumgarner a month ago, it seems logical. I think sometimes you can maybe get a bit of a surplus of the return or a little bit extra return if you move them early because you get the extra month. But we're now so close. I mean, less than 2 weeks now to the deadline, where you think about the Machado deal last year already happened by this date. Of course, he was traded at the All-Star game effectively 1 year ago. So I think we're so close now that in a couple weeks, it's hard to really say that they would be able to get a lot more for him if they move him today as opposed to less than 2 weeks from now. So I think that opportunity may have been there, probably is now lost on some level. But in general, I do believe the teams that have been watching Bumgarner, and I'm sure tonight, guys, it's going to be really interesting to see all the scouts in attendance tonight watching Madison because, of course, he's going up against Noah Syndergaard, who I believe there's a pretty decent chance he's going to get traded as well because the Mets have to find a way to get back some value and just reboot what's been a horrendous season. And, of course, Zach Wheeler's now on the injured list for the Mets. So they've got to find a way, I believe, the Mets to get some value back. So I would say count all those scouts in the stands tonight, my friends, because it's going to tell you a lot about which teams are really interested in pitching.
Hey, John, the Giants have been absolutely red hot, but there's another team in the Bay that's been pretty hot too. You know I'm talking about the A's.
Yeah.
You look at the Yankees, you look at Tampa, you think about Minnesota, Twins, where they're at, and then you got Houston. The A's are 55 wins. Do they have a shot? Do they have a legitimate shot? How good can this team be? Can they win it all?
I don't think the A's will win it all. I mean, certainly they've got a chance to. It's not probably a strong chance, at least from where I look at it. However, you think about the Astros, and I believe unless they make a really big, meaningful rotation upgrade, they're vulnerable. And I know that lead looks almost insurmountable that they've got right now in the American League West, but we saw the A's run down the Mariners in a very similar circumstance last year and pass them by to get a wild card. And Houston, really, after Verlander and Cole and Miley, they've had a lot of really big worries about the state of their rotation. And even they've had some offensive inconsistencies at times as well, although that's kind of coming around a little bit there for the Houston Astros. So I would say, for me, the A's have a very solid chance, of course, to make it to the wild card game. We saw that last year, and they're now in that position right now as we speak. I don't quite think they're top to bottom as strong as a team like the Yankees, or again, on their best day, a team like the Twins. But to me, they've got a legitimate chance to catch up with the Astros there in the American League West based on the way Houston has struggled a bit of late on the mound. And I just got to give credit to the A's. They've got a great front office, very imaginative. On the field, of course, Bob Melvin, just a great manager. He really is a great manager who understands his personnel exceptionally well. And I give credit to Billy Beane and David Force for always looking for the small ways to upgrade. Homer Bailey fits that description as well. So love the way they're playing and love the culture they've built. You see a guy like Chris Davis wanting to sign long-term and stay there. It tells you what a great atmosphere they've got there, and I give them all the credit for doing a tremendous job and now putting themselves back in a playoff position here in 2019.
MLB Insider, Fox Sports, the MLB Network, the great John Morosi with us here on 95.7 The Game. John, we appreciate you jumping on short notice. Terrific stuff as always. Take care. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Sounds great, guys. I was a little stupefied by the whole tomato juice conversation before. I hope I still rallied and was able to come up with something intelligent to say because I'm still somewhat baffled and thinking through my opinion on the existence of the tomato juice there from earlier on the show.
Shake that one off. Shake that one off. It's going to be a big season for you, Harbaugh and the Wolverines. I hate to say it as a Penn State grad, but you guys are going to make the playoff this year.
Ah, I like hearing that. Let's start by making it to the Big Ten title game for the first time ever. How about that?
There you go.
About a decade, haven't been there yet, but hopefully all signs pointing to Indy here in 2019.
Baby steps. Enjoy the tomato juice. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, guys. My pleasure. Great talking to you.
Oh, boy. Okay, a lot to dissect there. Let's start with this. Take what John Morosi was just telling us and tie it into Chris Rose, host of Intentional Talk on MLB Network yesterday regarding Farhan Zaidi and what he was brought here to do.
I get it. They're within three games of the wild card. If I am Farhan Zaidi, does that change my thought process on Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith? It absolutely does not. Part of the reason he was brought in as quote-unquote an outsider was to kind of be the bad guy. and to break things up with its love affair that the city has had with this particular group of guys and manager for the past decade.
That's why fans don't run teams, because tough decisions need to be made. And oftentimes those decisions run counter to what the fan base wants. If you go out there and you're making moves based on what the fans want, you're going to end up in a pretty precarious situation, right? Take a look at some of the current contracts on the San Francisco Giant roster. Some of those are very fan approved, and they've turned out to be a bit of an issue. Matt Cain, when that deal went down, everyone loved that deal. At the end, the fan base could not push Matt Cain out the door fast enough in terms of how much money he was taking up. Not to say they didn't love him, because they did and they do. Point being, you got to make tough decisions. And this brings us back to the idea of recency bias. This is a fun, exciting time to be a Giant fan, but don't think of it as anything more. They're not going to be able to maintain this rate of play throughout the rest of the season. And you don't necessarily need to maintain this rate of play to get to the playoffs, but you're going to need to maintain a certain aspect of this. And it was nice getting past Milwaukee and doing what you did to the Rockies. Nice little stretch coming up. Mets aren't exactly a great team, but they're playing good baseball right now. The Cubs have been playing some solid baseball. You got them next week. You got the Phillies at the end of the week. They're a bit of a mess. There's opportunity, but at the same time, you've got to make tough decisions. And when you're right up against the deadline, the timing might not be perfect, but you got to think big picture, and you got to think about the long-term viability of this franchise. Remember, this is an individual who was part of a big window in Dodger baseball in which several frontline blue-chip prospects were acquired that are going to hold a significant place within that organization for a long time. Zaidi was there when the Dodgers acquired Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler may be the best pitcher in baseball right now. If he's not, he's certainly close. That's the point. You've got to bring in the assets. You got to think about the next 3 to 5 to 10 years.
Yes, and you've been doing that ever since Farhan Zaidi got selected as the new president and the general manager. You've been set on this course, and I think you can eventually serve both masters. And I'm glad I was the first one to come with this angle, but you can make the, and many have followed, by the way, subsequently, locally and nationally.
We've noticed.
The idea that you can trade pieces and still compete. Because if you get rid of Will Smith, if you trade him, well, Mark Melancon can step in and finally become the closer that you are paying him to be. You're not paying Will Smith like a closer. You paid Melancon to be your closer. And he, by the way, he got his first save of the year yesterday in the win over Colorado. If Bumgarner leaves, now that's going to hurt your rotation, but it's next man up. You can move guys up accordingly, inject another starter. Maybe it's Beattie who gets more turns. If you lose a reliever like Watson, you can go to Reyes Maranta and give him more of a setup role. So I think you can serve both masters. You can make trades and still replace some of the guys you lose internally and maybe stay in this race anyway.
Yeah, you're right, but I look at it far more in depth than this. And I look at 2016. Here's a team that went to the playoffs. 2014, you won the title. How many teams in the MLB that can say that? There's not a lot. There's not a lot that can go. And so when we're talking about, okay, they're going to go in a new direction and get a new skipper, we get that. But is there a lot out there that's better? You say what you want. They've done it with less. He's been consistent. He's didn't have, even when they won it, even when they were great, even when this team was good, it wasn't like they were going out manufacturing a bunch of runs. It wasn't like they were had a bunch of guys that can go yard. They just done it with solid defense. They didn't make a lot of mistakes and good pitching. And 2014, they limped into it. They still they had a chance to, you know, to win that second series. So I understand this team needs an overhaul. I understand they want to go, you know, a youth move and all those different things. But I think that when you look at what they've done, it's still this manager and who's the people that was, you know, who was the GM and who was the guy what before Farhan? You think about maybe didn't bring in the right players, and Farhan's going to have to do a great job of getting and infusing this team and the AAA and AA, single A. He's going to have to do a great job of infusing that with a lot of great young talent. So I think that when you're just talking about this whole overhaul, I think that Bolci, though, when you look at what he's been able to do with less, has been pretty remarkable in spite of.
Let me ask you a question. Who wins the next World Series? The A's or the Giants? Those are the only two options. So not who's going to win this year's World Series. Who wins the next Bay Area World Series? Giants or A's? A's or Giants?
Giants.
Or A's.
Or A's or Giants. I'm saying...
Just wanted to make sure everyone was aware of the question.
Man, it's tough.
The first thing I was going to get was, well, I kind of like what the Brewers are doing this year. And it's, wait a minute, Brewers not part of this.
Braves definitely looking strong this year. And I think
a lot of young talent, I got to tell you.
Giants, thank you.
I gotta tell you.
Giants and A's both win before the Marlins, but that's not the question. I will say it's the A's, and just because you look at the lineup they have, 6 home runs yesterday, they have the potential, if they get into a Shark series, to do damage, even if they don't have the pitching. So I'm going to play the percentages, at least, of this year and go with the A's.
All right, you're going with the A's. Which direction are you going?
Right now, both teams are streaking and playing well, but you got to look at what the Giants was able to do and how they're able to do it, the runs that they're manufacturing, too.
Sure.
And going yard, a lot of guys. I'm still saying Giants.
Different church, different pew.
Yeah, look at you two. I did not see that being the case. See, here's what I'm trying to reconcile.
You got to break the tie,
Joe. The A's are built to do it sooner, but I'm trying to figure out if you can operate the way in which they do, if you can win a World Series. I'm just going through World Series winners of the just in order.
Right.
Tell me what they all pretty much have in common. Last year it was the Red Sox. The year before it was the Astros. The year before it was the Cubs. The year before it was the Royals. That's an interesting one. Then the Giants, the Red Sox, the Giants, the Cardinals, the Giants, the Yanks, the Phillies, the Red Sox, the Cardinals, the White Sox, the Red Sox, one of the anomalies, the Marlins, the Angels, the Diamondbacks, the Yankees. These teams spend money. These teams know they're good. They play well. They get to the deadline. They make the big-time move to bring in a frontline starter or a reliever, or it's another bat, whatever it may be, to put themselves over the top. Remember the Cubs? Did they bring in Chapman? They made the trade for Aroldis Chapman, won the World Series, and then what? Chapman went back to the Yankees.
Correct.
And re-signed.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the type of thing that needs to happen. Not to knock the Homer Bailey signing. It's a smart, efficient, cost-effective move. But what's going to happen when you get into a 7-game series with the Astros or the Yanks or anyone else in the AL who might make it? And then, by the way, if you get to the World Series, fantastic. But if you're running up against the Dodgers in that rotation, what are you going to do? They have built a great team at a great price. That's what worries me. They're the better team right now. They're the better team in the next few years. But if you don't get aggressive financially when the key moments present themselves, if you're not willing to push chips into the center, if you're just going to sit there and grind your way into the money, like some guys do in poker, versus actually make the aggressive plays to try to win the whole thing, I wonder if you can actually truly get there. I think they're playing themselves into a situation where every year they're right there, and then it's one of these, let's hope a few things break our way. Go out and seize the moment. The Homer Bailey trade's nice if you're the A's. Why not go get Bumgarner? Why not? You don't want to give up the assets? You don't want to pay the money? Okay, understandable. But that's where it gets tough for me to jump on the answer to that question, for me to sit here and say, I go with the A's. The talent's there, the window's there.
Right.
But if you don't get aggressive, I don't think you can do it. The Royals, okay. Right. And you go back to the Marlins, sure. But most of these teams, you keep hearing Boston, you keep hearing the Yankees, no. You hear about the teams that spend money and trade young guys to bring in big-time assets.
You know, the A's did that when they brought in John Lester, and it didn't work out for them.
True.
They went for it that time, and you look at where we are
but
now.
You can't turtle up. You can't let one that didn't break your way turtle
no,
up
right.
And prevent you from doing it. Get out there and try it again. Doesn't mean get reckless,
yeah.
But it shouldn't prevent you from doing that for the rest of the eternity.
You got 13 days till the deadline, and they're only 4.5 back of Houston, and they look pretty solid for a wild card berth, so maybe this is a year where they actually do go for it and acquire more than just Homer Bailey. You got to answer your own question.
Giants.
You think it's the Giants?
Yeah, and I don't want to pick them, but I think that
wow.
They will. I don't think the A's will put themselves over the top. They're not going to do it. They're going to need to be one of those teams that catches a series of breaks, right? They're going to need to catch more breaks than other teams in order to play. Who's pitching in a 7-game series? What's the rotation look like? Is there a guy you can shuffle back through quickly? Is it Brett Anderson? I know Manaea's set to begin his throwing program and his rehab assignments. I mean, who's your frontline guy? What are you going to do when the time comes and you're going? I mean, Luis Severino's about to come back for the Yanks. You know what the report is? I've got no problem if they need me coming out of the bullpen. Are you kidding me? Severino was a frontline guy last year, and now he's going to be coming out of the bullpen? I mean, even though Boston's struggling, look at the Sox. Look what the Rays are doing this year, for crying out loud. And oh, by the way, in your own division, the Astros are loaded, and they have been hurt for the majority of the year. That's the thing that worries me about them. If they were the type of team that got aggressive, that would go out and make a move for a guy like Bumgarner, I would absolutely get behind them winning a World Series before the Giants. But because of the spending, I see it as always a bridesmaid, never a bride. That's the situation.
You know how you always say, hey, Joe, you used to say Houston. Remember you were on Houston before they became Houston. You said you liked the way that they built, and now they got this window. Okay, when you look at the A's, last year they make the playoffs. They had that nucleus. Now they're still there, though. Can you say, you know, you always talk about your maturity, they're ready for the moments of playoffs. How much do you play in consideration when you're talking about this team now?
Maybe now with that year of experience, they could win a wild card game. But then what's next? You're going to play the Yankees in a 7-game series, 5-game series, whatever it's going to be. That's what worries me. You are built to navigate a 162-game season at a very cost-effective price and hopefully get into the playoffs. That's not how the Yankees are playing. The Yankees are playing for a title. The Dodgers are playing for a title. What do we need to do to make our team better now? We don't really want to hear about money, and we don't care about assets. What do we need to do to get better now? That's the big question. That's what the Braves are probably going to be thinking. Even the Twins this year. Look at the Twins. The Twins are one of the best teams in baseball. They're on the phone with the Giants about Madison Bumgarner. They've been on the phone with them for a while. If the Twins are willing to do it, and they're a small market club, what should be preventing the A's from doing that too? Right? Yeah. Just something to think about. If you really want to push it over the top, I don't think you have enough now. When your window and opportunities are there, you have to get aggressive. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your entire organization, all the people that put in that work. You owe it to yourselves to go for it, right? Because how many times are you going to spend not in the championship window, right? I mean, look around baseball. Right. If you're the Detroit Tigers, that window's gone.
Right.
You don't think they wish they could go back and say,
Kansas City is another
Absolutely.
One.
Yeah, they're nice windows, but once they close, man, it could be decades before it opens back up. Look at the Dolphins.
Yes. Look at Baltimore.
Baltimore's been out for a long time. And Cleveland now close to maybe being sellers and them
Absolutely.
Having their window closed as well. So you're right, Joe.
Woo! All right, good stuff, boys. Good stuff. All that good stuff brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. You want to get involved, we'll bring you into the show. Who wins a World Series first? The Giants or the A's? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Your call's next, but first, here's nice guy Stephen Langford. Stephen Langford with what's coming up on the game.
Who?
I ran out of breath there.
What's coming up on the game, Joe, is sponsored by your San Francisco Giants. Baseball in the Bay is exciting. What do you know? The Giants completed the 4-game sweep of the Rockies, the first time they've done so since 2011. Madison Bumgarner gets the start in the first of 3 against the Mets. How will their performance this month affect the Giants at the trade deadline? Well, Bonte Steine and Guru will talk to Joe Girardi about that at 12, while Damon and Darren Smith will talk to manager Bruce Bochy about this run at 3:30. And NFL Insider Week continues here at 95.7 The Game as Adam Kaplan will also join Damon and Darren Smith at 3 o'clock. Big guest lineup for the Damon Bruce Show today. And a little golf update. Shane Lowry is still atop the Open Championship leaderboard at 4-under. The Giants kick off the second half of the season tonight as the New York Mets are in for a 4-game series followed by the Chicago Cubs. Come out and enjoy the Oracle Park experience. Tickets always available at sfgiants.com. Coming up, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah will join Joe Lowe and Dibs in about a half hour at 8 o'clock, so stay tuned. I'm Stephen Langford on the Bay Area's number one sports station. That's 95.7 The Game.
Coming up today on The Game, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah joins Joe Lowe and Dibs at 8.
Boom.
Followed by 3-time Super Bowl champion Randy Cross at 9. Giants manager Bruce Bochy joins the Damon Bruce Show at 3:30.
I'm all in on that, and I'm going to savor every bit of it.
On the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our gorgeous listening audience, because we love you and because there is a lot to get to today. Phone lines are open if you want to answer the following question. 888-957-9570. Who wins a World Series first, the Giants or the A's? Both teams are cooking right now. One appears destined for the playoffs. The other, and this is the Giants, possibly just a nice run now before some inevitable trading and then possibly a regression to the mean. Whatever ends up happening, it's a fun time right now for baseball in the Bay Area. My question is, I'd love to hear the case. Dibs and Lowe completely spit. Lowe thinks it would be the Giants. Dibs thinks it would be the A's. The A's certainly built now to go win something,
yeah.
but built with enough to withstand the challenges of the American League. I mean, when you're staring down the barrel of matchups with the Yanks, the Astros, possibly the Rays or Red Sox, the Twins, who, by the way, like you, small market team built from the ground up, but, oh, by the way, looking to get involved at the trade deadline for a guy like Madison Bumgarner, can you go there and take them out in a 5 or 7-game series? Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 made an excellent point. Why not buy Dallas Keuchel for $10 million? Dallas Keuchel was just sitting out there for the longest possible time. The Braves said, hey, we're having a hell of a year. We could use another arm. Let's go buy Dallas Keuchel. Now, I think he had an outing last night or two nights ago, and I'm not sure how it went, but I knew going into it, I believe he had made 5 starts, and he had looked better and better each time. First two, it was like 5 innings with 3 runs apiece. Then he got better. Then he went and he pitched really well in his 5th start back against the Padres. The numbers have been solid. Again, I don't know what the most recent start was, but that's a guy for $10 million in this day and age of Major League Baseball. That's good value considering his history.
It's a super bargain. And, you know, if you're the A's, you've got a ton of starting pitching that could be coming back in the near future, whether it's Jarrell Cotton, A.J. Puck, you hope for the future, can get healthy. So it's interesting when you talk about Dallas Keuchel and a short-term situation for a pitcher, it might fit with the A's. The reason why I said the A's is you look at the team as it's composed right now, and they might have 9 guys this year who have double-digit home runs.
Right.
So even though when you get in the postseason low, a lot of times it's about pitching, overwhelming hitting, the A's have so many bats top to bottom that I feel like they can not only compete in the regular season, they're only 4, 4.5 back of the Astros. If they find a way to get over the hump and actually win the division, all of a sudden now it's a different discussion for the A's as it pertains to a postseason run.
Yeah, and that's why I just don't know if they would pull the trigger. Because if they would pull the trigger and get a little bit better pitching, I know Friars, you know, he's 9-3 ERA with, you know, 3.65. You think about
Look at you. You know, all those baseball data points. I love it.
He's not even looking at a computer screen. He's got
it all
this by memory.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. If I didn't have a computer screen, you guys would be like, what the hell are you talking about? But no, you look at those guys being able to manufacture runs, not just that. They can do yard. They can go yard. They got a lot of bats. But will they do that? And that's why I'm more on the Giants. And I know Joel alluded to that. This team right now, their windows now, and they do have the bats. They can slug it out with anyone. But you do need some pitching. And when you look at the Giants, okay, Madison's gone. The bats that they have now, are we seeing? Is this something that's going to continue to happen? Are these guys capable of doing what this team is doing? If so, how long? You know what the A's seems like has more bats that's more consistent, but the Giants right now, their bats are just on fire. Don't know if these guys are, is this who they really are?
Gene in Oakland. Gene, thank you for the phone call. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I would have to pick the A's, and I think you're absolutely right, Joe, that they got to spend the money, and I think they're ready to do so. From what I understand, they're in serious talks with Chapman, and the money's not the issue. It's whether they can attract enough of the fans to make Chapman happy, and they're the only game in town. So I think you're going to see a rise in attendance and much more of a commitment to being, a true MLB franchise.
Appreciate the phone call. Believe it when I see it. Love the optimism, but believe it when I see it, right? That's what you got to do. Push the chips to the middle. Here's your window. I'd love to see the idea of them kicking the tires on Bumgarner if they thought he could help. Doesn't mean you have to pay Bumgarner long term. Go make the move now to bring him in. You don't think he could help you get past Severino in a wild card game instead of what was trotted out there last year? No disrespect necessarily intended, but the A's pitching staff was not ready for that game last year. You need to improve the pitching staff or you will get run out of the playoffs once again. The Giants can help with that. And you know what? Zaidi's not one of these guys that gives a damn about party lines. Just because he represents the Giants doesn't mean he can't have conversations with the A's or the Dodgers because, you know, the teams don't really like each other. Forget about all that. Can you get better with this trade or not? Does it make your team better now? Who cares who you're talking to? If you have 29 potential suitors, why would you eliminate one because of their proximity to your stadium? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Well, if we help them out, some of our fans may jump over there. Good. Those aren't good fans anyway, then. If that's the situation, let them go. If you go out and win, people will show up. It's the bottom line. We have a habit of complicating everything in this world today. Just go out and find ways to get better and win.
Right.
Don't worry. The people will show up.
And he's already said that, I'm sorry, Lo, as it pertains to the Dodgers, where he would trade with the Dodgers because not only do you get their assets and help your team, but you also weaken your rival by taking some of their best future pieces. So the same thing would apply to the A's, really.
And also the fan just said exactly what you just said, Joe. He said they need to do this if they want to be a true franchise. Now, that's an A's fan just said what you just saying the same words you just alluded to.
I love it. Get aggressive. That's what this is all about. Get aggressive. When you spend all of this time studying, researching, talking to people, not being with your family, right? You're not home having dinners. You're not driving the kids to practice. You are grinding. And you find the Matt Chapmans of the world. You find the Matt Olsons of the world. You find the prospects and you develop them and you bring them up. And then you start winning. You're there. The team's there. It's ready to go on a run. Everyone knows. You showed it last year. It's not a fluke. You're showing it again this year. Get aggressive. Don't sit there and say, well, you know, maybe if we draw the Twins and the Twins have an injury here and we get really lucky with a Mike Fiers outing, we might have a chance. Call the Giants. Call whoever it is that's selling and make a move. And if you don't want to make a move, fine. But if things don't go your way, if you want a nickel and dime again and things don't go your way this offseason, I don't necessarily want to hear, well, you know, we're close. Yeah, great, close.
Let me ask them, who's better for a
nobody remembers player? The bronze medalist at the Winter Games this for any event.
It's Kazakhstan is who it was,
oh,
Joe.
Wow. Good for them.
Yeah.
Who's that coming?
When in doubt, it's Kazakhstan.
In a one-game series, Joe.
I can't prove you wrong, unfortunately.
I know.
I don't have that data in front of me.
That's why I just kept
moving. In that case, we're going to put that on the board.
Hey, unless you can go ahead and prove it wrong,
thank
it's got
to
stand.
Thank you.
That's how it works. Throw something up against the wall, and unless it can be disproven, it sticks.
Yeah, it's ballpark. that's brand for the show. In your opinion, you think about the Giants, where they're at, and if they stay hot and they continue and they get a wild card spot, and you look
they're
at
not, no, they're not getting a wild card spot. They're not staying hot. They're going to have this nice little run. It's going to fizzle, and that's going to be it. Maybe in September, they get hot for a little bit because it's the emotional pull of Bochy's retirement, but I don't want to talk about them as a playoff team. They're not going to the playoffs. People are getting excited now. It's a fun time. But take it for what it is. It's this recency bias. This is the same group of people who a month ago were just throwing this team under the bus every chance they got. Hated Zaidi, couldn't stand the rotation, the lineup. It was nothing but complaining. And that's what it is. When the team's not playing well in any fan base around the world, it's going to be complaining. So it's complain, 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 complain. Hey, they're hot. Oh, my God, we're going to the playoffs. That's not reasonable. Is there anything in life that works like that? No. Now it's an emotional high.
Okay.
It's going to be followed by an emotional low. There are no playoffs coming.
Lo, you can ask me that question because I'll entertain your hypothetical. So go ahead and ask me. He didn't have to shut you down like that. I'm here for
I didn't
you,
shut
Coach.
Him down. He asked a question. He got an answer.
You didn't even let him finish his question.
I knew where
happened.
It was going.
Yeah. You know where I was going?
I don't know. I just felt like saying something.
I know you did say
we're
something.
We're all friends here, Lo. Let's just talk.
Absolutely, that's beautiful.
Thank you. I just came up with that on the spot.
Stop lying.
Stole the name of his book and replaced family with friends. That's what you did there.
Yeah, you caught me.
Humor me, did.
Anywho,
hypothetically,
sure.
If the Giants were to get in wild card spot, and the A's, both these teams both get in wild card spot, who's better suited to win in one game? Rosters where they at right now.
So this year,
let's just say,
and I love hypotheticals, Coach.
Let's say both of them, they make it.
Hypotheticals.
Let's say that it's a rematch of the 1989 World Series. Let's just get crazy. Can we get a little crazy then? I know, Joe, you're not interested in this, but.
I just nodded yes.
I'm just saying where the teams are at now.
I thought you had like a kick in your neck or something.
I'm just saying one game playoff right now, not these teams playing against each other. I'm just saying.
It would be 30 years since the 89 Quake Series. It would be pretty. Pretty special to have that thing wrap all the way back around.
Oh, you're saying one against each other?
No. I'm just saying where they're at now. If they both teams get in, looks like the A's might get in. Looks like the Giants are.
Who's better built for a one game win?
Yes.
Giants. Giants, no doubt. Bumgarner goes. Who's going for the A's?
Mike Fiers, Coach.
Okay, great. That's fantastic.
He's got shutdown stuff, Coach.
Who started last year against the Giants or against the Yankees in the wild card game? Anyone back there? Anyone who's constantly at these games telling me all about them? Remember?
I think it was Daniel Magden.
That's what I'd love to know. It's who do you have? That's what it all comes down to in these situations. You see it every single year in the wild card game. some team that doesn't have the pitching just gets mowed down. That's what Bumgarner is built for. Bumgarner is Mr. One Game. That's why I take him, right? I'd find a way to manufacture something out of somebody else. But if you're going to throw him out there for one game, I'll take that every day of the week. And I'm not even going to debate it. Nice guy.
It was the opener, Joe. They used Liam Hendricks.
Yeah.
All-star.
How'd that work out? That game, they gave up runs in the first, didn't they?
He gave up
two runs.
That
got away
runs.
From him immediately.
Yeah, two
that
earnings.
Was the plan. Last year's yeah. plan, when you worked that okay. hard to get to the playoffs, was let's use an opener
yeah.
against Luis Severino, who mowed you down. It wasn't a coincidence. That's how it gets done in one game. Go back to all the great game sevens, right? Mm-hmm. What are we talking about here? We're talking about pitching. And then you try to find a way to get to the bullpen when everyone's taxed and waxed with nothing left in the tank. We saw it in the Cleveland and Chicago series a few years ago. That was a pitching masterpiece from those two teams. Rotating their studs in and out, going to bullpens, asking for more from everyone to the point where you could tell no one had anything left. It was just the team that was going to be able to have their car coast further after running on E than the other one. That's what that was. That was a brilliant series. But that's what you need. If you're ever going to have a conversation with me about who wins one game in baseball, I'm looking right at the best starting pitcher of the two lineups. That's what it comes down to. And it would be Bumgarner in this situation. I don't care if the Giant lineup wouldn't be as potent as the A's or if it wouldn't have as great a defense as the A's. It's the fact that they have him. He can go out there. And he might not be the guy we remember from back then, but I'd rather roll the dice on that than putting a bullpen guy out there for 6 minutes on a 31-pitch count so that I can somehow mathematically bring the next guy in and hopefully he maintains the second inning. Sorry, Luis Severino is just going to laugh. He's just going to strike your guys out. Because what happens when your lineup goes cold?
Yeah.
What's the answer?
There you is got none. Trouble.
The
you
answer is you need to turn to a guy that makes a lot of money to do that. You need to turn to the Scherzers of the world in the big spots. You need to turn to the Dallas Keuchels when they were making the run a couple years ago.
Jake Arrieta had some monster performances.
Yes.
Justin Verlander is another guy. He goes to Houston and he immediately starts to shove in the postseason.
Cleveland was loaded with those guys. Bauer was like the fourth best pitcher on that team that
right.
year. He cut his hand open with the drone. That was a big thing. That's your number four you're concerned about back then. Right?
Cut his hand with a drone. That's right. Trevor Bauer.
Yeah. Totally unapologetically, too.
Right.
It's not like he came out, man, I let the guys down. I'm going to live my life. Okay. No one said you couldn't.
So
it's just the World Series.
Yeah. So in order to compete, to really say I'm competing, I got to have one great ace.
Yes.
Just one. Okay.
Of course. Of course. Especially in the AL. Especially in the AL where there's no the pitcher's not hitting, so you're facing yet another good bat in that scenario, and the teams you're going up against are doing nothing but pushing their chips in. What do you think the Yankees are about to do at the trade deadline? They already brought in Encarnacion the other night. He had two home runs. That team is stacked. They are absolutely stacked to the gills. Where are they at right now? I had this right up in front of me. 60-33. Do you know if there's 60 wins, only 11 have come by one run? They've won 19 of their last 25. So they're 19-6 over their last 25. Two of those games are by one run.
Wow.
They're annihilating people. Plus 122 on the differential. They're winning at home. They're winning on the road. They can score with the best of them. I mean, you're going to need, imagine getting into a series with the Yankees if you're the A's. You don't want to make any trades whatsoever. You don't want to entertain the idea of Bumgarner. You're good with your whatever. We're going to start with the bullpen. Whatever you want to do. The upside down from Stranger Things is how you're going to approach it. That's great. So you're going to trot out there. Whoever it's going to be in game one. So let's say this is the ALCS, Yankees A's. Game number one, you're going to come out there. Give me a lineup here.
Okay.
And you're going to face, let's say in no particular order, DJ LeMahieu, Brett Gardner, Aaron Judge, Edwin Encarnacion, Giancarlo Stanton, Gary Sanchez, on and on and on. And oh, by the way, maybe you win that game. Guess what? The next night, Edwin Encarnacion, DJ LeMahieu, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Gary Sanchez, they're just going to keep coming at you. Oh, by the way, they also have pitchers. Oh, by the way, great home field advantage in New York when it's October and playoff time in the Bronx. And oh, by the way, they're going to make moves, big moves at the deadline. That's what you're up against. Like if you're trying to get through the AL, that's the war you're fighting. You're going up against a team that's already stacked, and you're going to find a way four times in seven nights to shut down that lineup, and you're going to score runs in the process too. Because you're going to be going up against good pitching. The deck is stacked. The deck is absolutely stacked.
And to your point about starting pitching, you need that ace. Look at the Dodgers.
haven't done anything, and what's the knock on their one ace in Clayton Kershaw for these past 6 years?
What do you mean haven't done anything? They've been in both of the last two World Series.
Haven't won, but they've been there. And they need that ace, and Clayton Kershaw can't perform in the playoffs. I'm trying to help you with your point, Joe.
You're not helping me with my point at all.
You're not helping,
one bit.
Steven.
They've got nothing but frontline pitching that puts them on the precipice. 2 years ago, they were in a Game 7. Last year, they got mowed down by another team that spends money with pitching. What I'm talking about is playing for championships. I'm not talking about grinding your way in to a singular playoff game in the hopes of getting a chance to get motorboated by one of these two teams. That's what I'm talking about. I do appreciate you jumping in on it, but every time people want to knock the Dodgers, how many straight division titles have they won?
It's six, I believe.
They're not even playing in these wild card games. They don't bother with the wild card game because that's beneath them. They spend money to take themselves out of consideration for that game. They're going right to the big boy round of the playoffs, and they're going right to the World Series.
And
you
lose.
You make all the jokes you want. Yeah, and lose. You can make all the jokes you want. They're there. They're there.
They're there.
That's what money gets you. It puts you at the front line every single season. I would much rather... Would you rather be a Dodger fan or an A fan? Dodgers every single day of the week because I know they're going for it. The A's are a nice story, but what happens? I know that I'm capped at a playoff berth. With the Dodgers, I know that I'm probably going to be playing for the World Series.
Absolutely.
I'll take that every year, every day of the year.
Right, and you figure if you keep knocking on the door, you're going to go through. You don't often see a Buffalo Bills situation where you go to four straight and you lose all four. The Warriors went to five straight, and they went 3-2 in those NBA finals, and Cleveland was able to get one. So if you keep knocking on the door, you're going to find your way into success. But I was looking at all of the World Series champions going backward and trying to find a team that didn't have a real frontline starter, you know, that they had to roll out there and get the wins. And you're hard pressed to find one. So
very difficult.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. You might get past one game, but once we're talking about seven games, you're talking about these stacked lineups.
Right.
I just gave you the Yankees as an example. Look at the Astros, Altuve, Correa, Springer.
That's three guys.
There are more that play for them, by the way.
I'm glad you laid it out to me. Like, that's why I just came over here and I just shut up. And that's why I thought
that's not what I was trying to do. I always love the singing and the hot takery.
And that's what I wanted Steven to say. And that's all, folks. Nice way to come.
Nice guy keeps storming in. I'll give him credit. You keep flying in there with some punches. That's what I want you to do.
He got two-piece, three-piece.
Stuff.
He didn't get two or three-piece.
It was beautiful.
What are you doing? You set it up, and then, like you said, you went running.
Yeah.
Well, nice guy's in there trying to fight. What are you doing? You're running.
No.
You saw the British coming. You took off. You beat the Oregon Trail guys.
Lewis and Clark?
You beat Lewis and Clark to Oregon. That's what you did.
Exactly.
Running buck naked across America to avoid the British. That's what you were doing. At least he saw the British coming, which is ironic because he is British, so he would have probably been on that side of the war than the other side. But that's neither here nor there.
But Daniel, you got to admit, he went in like head first, but I set it up, and I was like, wow.
You meshed your draws, and you went running.
But here's the thing. When you laid it out, was
facts?
No. Why am I going to jump in there when he laid that, said, here's why you need to, and I was like, what am I going to combat that for? He's going to come in there over the top. I was like, for what? You laid it out because I'm making a case. Look at the A's. Look at their bats. Look at the way they can manufacture runs. Then you talked about a frontline pitcher, what it means to a team and organization, why you got to have, and what was I going to jump in and try to convolute the situation for? Steven, I appreciate you jumping on the grenade for me. Have fun.
That was a tough grenade for him to take like that. It was a tough one.
Welcome to radio, where the 16-year NFL veterans in the big seats set you up and then throw you under the bus and then make a mockery of you after it. How does it feel?
They haven't won a single thing, man. I still stand behind my point. They haven't won a single thing.
They won the World National League pennant, kid.
Okay, that's something. That's fine.
But they
haven't won the World Series.
When was the last time the A's won the National League pennant? Thank you. When was the last time the A's won the American League pennant?
He looked at you so frustrated, and then you realize there's just nothing to say to that.
The last time the A's won the American League pennant was, and I don't believe you were alive, so you may not remember this. It was 1990, if I'm not mistaken. They went to three straight World Series, and they won one. So that's kind of what that situation was. And subsequently, I'm looking at my list here, and I'm not seeing the A's in A's in the 90s. The aughts,
you
the tens.
You thought this will help you?
So, I mean, you could say all you want that the Dodgers haven't won anything. They've won the National League pennant back-to-back years, and that's pretty darn good. Only one team wins the World Series. You'd be happy to be runner-up instead of an also-ran.
All right. Let's not dogpile. Oh, my God!
There goes Steven's career.
He's trying to do a nice job. I think you're doing a great job, Langford.
Pre-game show, 5 to 6.
Yeah, don't
miss it. Keep it up, 5 to 6.
Don't miss
it. Keep it up, 5 to 6. Doing a great job. Don't let Siegfried and Roy over here try to fool you with their illusions.
You too.
All right.
Okay.
Deep breaths. Deep breaths. Daniel Jeremiah, former NFL scout. You catch him on the NFL Network now. He is going to join us in about 7 minutes at 8 o'clock. Couple of reminders for you. Later today at 3:30, Bruce Bochy is going to be on with Damon Bruce and Darren Smith. Bruce Bochy, the skipper, you may have heard of him. He's on at 3:30. Tomorrow at 8:30, Terrell Owens. He played in the National Football League by the position of wide receiver. He joins us tomorrow at 8:30. You may have heard of him as well. We're just rolling out the big guess. Let's transition into this.
Bosa watch.
Okay.
I see we added something there. Hit it again.
Bosa watch.
Okay.
It's really good.
Eight days until Niner players report to camp. 9 days until the first practice. We reassess every day. As of right now, prior to the updated commentary, Dibs and Lowe both believe Bosa will not be signed by the first practice. I believe he will be. We are now 9 days from that first practice. There are only 8 total players still unsigned. Is that correct? And this
yes.
isn't just the first round. This is the entire NFL rookie class.
Only 8 unsigned, but that does include 4 of the top 6. And, of course, Nick Bosa is among that group. There's a long snapper taken in the 7th round who hasn't signed and a 3rd rounder. But you look at across the entire draft, Joe, only those 8 players, and 2 of them are San Francisco 49ers.
All right, so we reassess today. Do you still hold the opinion that he will not be signed for the first practice? Now, we're not saying he will practice because if the hamstring's an issue, we're going to take the technicalities out of it. Will he be under contract by the first practice?
I don't believe so, and I think, and I continue to lean on the Bosa history as it pertains to contract signings and the timing therein. Joey Bosa, Nick's older brother, didn't sign right away for similar reasons, somewhat different reasons, but the idea of this agency holding him out, I see that happening most likely.
Where are you at? You originally said you don't think he'll be there under contract for the first practice. Do you still maintain that opinion?
I do, and I believe this. I believe that Debo won't be there until he's there. I think that this is because you got both guys with the same agency. They're going to be looking for
the same. Both CAA, Creative Artist Agency.
And they're both going to be looking for the same type of language. They're going to want most of their money guaranteed. So when one goes, they're both going because he can't, because one would feel, oh, you let him go. Is the language change any difference? They're in a tough situation. So I think this is a 2-for-1.
I am of the opinion that he will be signed strictly from a PR perspective. Do not begin this year with people talking about anything other than just football. This is not football. This is contracts, and this is negative press. You don't need this, all right? There's been enough of it post-Harbaugh. Get it done. Get him in, because I'll tell you what, if it takes a couple weeks and that becomes the number one story like it was in Chicago with, what is it, Roquan Smith, the linebacker from Georgia, that was the number one talking point for the Bears heading in the last season. The Bears went to the damn playoffs. Didn't they win the division? Bears had a great season.
Yes.
And they spent all of late July and August talking about this contract situation. It was their A1 talking point all summer. You don't want that. Garoppolo's coming back. People are getting excited. You're opening the season at Tampa, at Cincinnati. You could be 2-0. Don't set this entire situation up to be a disaster to where he's not there, the holdout's the talking point, then he shows up, then he gets hurt, and everyone's calling him a bust before week one ever shows up. Nip this in the bud right now and get it done. But I'm not saying it has to be done today. Just get it done before camp opens. Don't let it become a story. We're having fun with the Bosa watch concept. We're not necessarily panicking as of yet. I do want to focus today, however, a few minutes on what to expect from him when he is signed and he is healthy. I went back just shortly, briefly, top pass rusher from the draft the last 3 years, and I looked at their rookie seasons. Last year was the rookie season for, or excuse me, what, 2 years ago? Bradley Chubb was last year. Bradley Chubb, the pass rusher out of NC State, he was the first one off the board. He registered 12 sacks. He had 12 sacks last season. Tremendous. Now, he was playing opposite Von Miller, so that is going to help. 2 years ago, the first pass rusher off the board was Myles Garrett. He was drafted by the Cleveland Browns, number one overall. 7 sacks as a rookie, 13.5 last year. 3 years ago, the first pass rusher off the board, well, what do you know? The other Bosa, Joey, 10.5 sacks as a rookie, 12.5 in year two, only 5.5 last season because he battled a lot of injuries. So he's already at 27, 28, 28.5 sacks for his career. Not bad through 2.5 seasons. Not bad at all. Nick Bosa, he gets signed, he gets onto the field. He's the number one pass rusher selected this past year. What do you think is a reasonable amount of sacks to expect from him? What would be considered successful, and then what would be the number that would be, going to need more next year?
Seven.
You're thinking seven. If he gets to seven, it's like, all right, we can work with
seven,
this.
Seven, that just means, you know what? He's okay. But with Ford and with Buckner, I'd expect more. So I'm just saying, you asked me, what is give me a base and give me the floor. That's my floor, seven. Because you got those guys up front, and Solomon now can be inside. You got four defensive linemen. So you got to realize, only one offensive lineman's free because you're going four down linemen this year. So you can only double one. So somebody's going to have a lot of one-on-one blocks, and I think that's going to be him at times as well.
All right. You're thinking seven is the floor.
Four.
But we'd like to see double digits, obviously, as a first-round pass rusher. Dibs, what are you thinking?
I think 10's the floor. Double digits is the floor. And you just named the three guys with whom he's comparable. Bradley Chubb, 12.5, and even Myles Garrett, who was on a worse team. It was an emerging defense, but he had double digits.
Well, he had seven as a rook, but then came back in year two, 13.5.
With a better defense,
right.
And I think you look at this defense.
Greg Williams.
You mentioned Dee Ford and DeForest Buckner. Those are two huge pieces that absolutely will help him. So, and I look at what his brother did in his first year. He got double-digit sacks that first year as well. So, for me, 10's the number.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Three-time Super Bowl champ Randy Cross will join us at 9:05, a little over an hour from now. Bruce Bochy, skipper of the San Francisco Giants, will join Damon Bruce and Darren Smith today at 3:30. And we've got Terrell Owens joining the show tomorrow morning, 8:30. Conversation over breakfast with the great T.O. All guests appear on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video messages, and meetings across existing devices. We mention the Dialpad guest line because we head there now. Former NFL scout, current NFL network analyst. You can also check him out as the color analyst for the Los Angeles Chargers. He's got an awesome podcast. It's called Move the Sticks, which is also his Twitter handle, at Move the Sticks. Daniel Jeremiah with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Daniel, first and foremost, we greatly appreciate the time. As the Chargers color analyst, you know as much about Joey Bosa as just about anybody out there. For Niner fans who are anticipating the debut of Nick Bosa, what are they getting? Is this brother every bit as possibly good as his other brother? I guess in the worst possible way of wording that question.
Yeah, no, I think he is. You know, having done both of them and studied both of them coming into the draft, I think Nick's is a little more polished now. I heard you talking a little bit before I came on about what the expectations are, what the number will be. My focus would just be the number 16, because if he can get out there for 16 weeks, he's going to get double-digit sacks. I think that's going to happen. So, to me, it's just about him staying healthy. That's the biggest question mark, the biggest concern. But he's just got such a natural feel as a pass rusher, and he can beat you with speed and power. So he's got the foundation you need to be a great rusher, and his hands are so good, and he's going to have help. So when you can line him up next to DeForest Buckner, pick your poison.
How much does the depth of that position help him as well to maybe play all 16 games? Because they still have Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas, and Dee Ford is up there, and you mentioned DeForest Buckner as well. Does the depth help him maybe last that entire 16 games?
I think it definitely helps. I mean, I just speak from my own experience. My first year with the Ravens in the scouting department was Terrell Suggs' rookie year. And, we just used him on third down, and he was the defensive rookie of the year and had double-digit sacks. So we kept him fresh. We had guys we could roll through there and let him just worry about rushing the passer. And I think that they're in a pretty good spot to have that luxury to do something like that with Nick, because of the depth and the quality depth, not just depth, real quality players they have along that front.
Jeremiah, thanks for joining the show. When you look at what young Nicky Bosa, and you talked about his hand placement is probably a little bit better, and he's a little quicker than his brother. Just talking about that defense and overall, you got Sherman now 2 years removed from the Achilles, the tendon, all the different things that
the defense is bringing to the table. Can you see this team as a number 21? Is that too much to ask? Is this defense capable of keeping teams under 21 or less?
Well, to me, it's a TBD in the back end. You know, let's see how this secondary grows and comes together, and really health. You know, can Richard Sherman get back to what he was? I think the sneaky good signing is Jason Verrett, because you talk to anybody with the Chargers, you know, and when he's been healthy, and that's been a major, major issue, but when he's been healthy, he's played an elite level. If they could get something out of him this year, keep him healthy with some of the other young players they have, that would give me hope there. I definitely think I'd put their front, and when you look at what they have at linebacker, bringing in Quan Alexander to join Fred Warner, he was one of the better young linebackers in the NFL. You've got Malcolm Smith. I feel really good about what they have in the front seven. I just think you're going to need to see the health and see this secondary come together. There's a lot of pressure on them. They've got to find a way to make some plays.
Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network with Jolo and Dibs on 95.7. The game last year, the Rams were by far and away the best team in the NFC West. They made it all the way to the Super Bowl, where they came up just short against Brady and the New England Patriots. Todd Gurley battling some knee issues. Ndamukong Suh is gone. Are they still the best team in the NFC West? And if so, by how much of a margin?
I do think they're still the best team in the division, but I think you can make a strong case that the gap closed, and not just, you know, with the 49ers. I think Seattle has got a chance to be a little bit better, and obviously Arizona can't get worse. So it's going to be a more competitive division. But, you know, I just look at the combination of really three things. You look at the head coach with Sean McVay and the innovation he has offensively. You look at the quarterback, who's continuing to emerge and get better and better, and had a great year last year in Jared Goff. And then I always look at the pass rush. And look, Ndamukong Suh was a nice piece and helped them against the run, but that's a one-man band when it comes to the pass rush, and there's nobody better than Aaron Donald. So getting him and having Dante Fowler for a full season lining up next to him, I still think they'll be pretty effective there. And I think their secondary is the best in the division, and I think it's the best in the division by a pretty good margin.
We've had a bit of a debate here internally about the opening of the Niners' schedule, two games on the road at Tampa Bay and at Cincinnati. How do you size up those two early road opponents for a Niner team that was 0-8 last year on the road?
Well, I mean, Tampa is scary, and Tampa's a team nobody's talking about, but when we're just talking about the question mark for the 49ers being the back end, well, you're going to get challenged, because this is a team that chucks it all.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.